morning. Welcome to Cross Life Church. My name is Michael. I'm one of the pastors here. I appreciate some forms of kindness. And so just kind of thinking recently, I've been really appreciative when I left a whole bag of shopping at the shops. And then an hour later, I went back and said, hey, like there was a bag of shopping here. Did someone kind of do anything with it? And they actually kind of put it behind the counter for me, which I guess these guys are not paid to do. So that's really, really cool. Even when kind of you're on the roads in Waitara and there's like only one lane because everyone lives in apartments and they're parked on both sides of the road. And someone just like pulls into the side of the road like about 100 meters ahead of you just to kind of let you through. Really appreciate that as well. Sermon today is kind of about that because we're going to be talking about grace. Our God is a gracious God and our God is kind of like that as well. And the grace of God is something that Christians really hold dear. Because of that, I hope that you appreciate that more in your Monday to Saturday, and I hope this sermon helps you to do that as well. I'm going to lead us in prayer as we head into God's word, so please join with me as we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you do not deal with us as our sins deserve. Thank you that we can see your grace in all the blessings of creation that we see, but also in sending your Son Jesus to die for us. We pray that you may open our eyes to see more of your grace, to know how long and wide and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's important when you are communicating to be able to get your definitions right. The reason why this is important is because when you're communicating with someone, often the person you're communicating with is going to have different meanings for the same words. And that means that if you don't get those definitions right, you are going to be misunderstood. This week, Jen and I were having a conversation and she told me about a company that made recycled toilet paper. And I had to do a bit of a double take when she mentioned those words, recycled toilet paper, because I was thinking, what, you mean that people go into the toilets and take out the paper and clean it off and then make it into new paper? Is that how they recycle it? And it turned out that that was not what she meant. Of course, it's toilet paper made out of other types of paper. Definitions are important. And in Christian circles, one of the words that we need to get right in our definitions, it's extremely important, is the word grace. Because grace means all sorts of different things in the world, and grace is very, very important to God's character. And so what do we mean when we talk about God's grace? A ballerina or a princess can have grace, by which we mean that there is a beauty or an elegance to the way that they present themselves. A person who apologizes for something they've done wrong, you know, we say that they had the grace to do it, by which we mean that they were polite, they showed courtesy to others. Some Christians say grace before meals, by which we mean grace as a prayer. We thank God for giving us food. But in the Bible, when we talk about God's grace, we're not talking about the way that he walks, and we're not talking about how polite he is. We are talking about his character. For a Christian, the definition of grace is undeserved kindness. Undeserved kindness. It is God giving good things to us that we do not deserve, things that we have not earned with our own efforts and work. What I hope that we get from the Bible today is clarity, that this is the Bible's definition of grace. But I also hope you get encouraged to see God's grace, not just in the Bible, definitely in the Bible, but also in the world around us as you head through your Monday to Saturday, and that you're more reminded of what a gracious God we have. And so the first and the most obvious place that we should see God's grace is in his Son, Jesus Christ. Two of the clearest passages about Jesus' death for us and that showing God's grace are Romans 3 and Ephesians 2. Both of them use the word grace, and both of them follow the same pattern as well. They start by talking about how undeserving we are and then show how kind and gracious God is in saving us through Jesus. And so Romans chapter 3, verses 23 to 24 goes, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." Right before this, Paul has written, "There is no one righteous, not even one. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. None of us deserve God's goodness to us." But the good news of the Bible is that even though we do not deserve God's goodness, God gives it to us anyway. His grace, it says here, is a gift. It is undeserved, and it takes the form of Jesus dying for our sins. Ephesians chapter 2 says a similar thing in a few more words, verses 1 to 10. It says, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind." Again, we are not deserving of God. We are dead in our trespasses and sins. We don't deserve God's goodness. In fact, it says here that what we actually deserve is God's wrath. But then it says in verses 4 to 10, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one can boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." And so again here it says that despite our sin, God still loves us and has saved us in his grace. Twice in this passage it says, "By grace you have been saved." Again, it correlates God's grace with the word gift, because God's grace is a gift, and it uses words like love and mercy to highlight that this is all God and not us. And it says it's not by works here as well, so that no one can boast. You know, we don't contribute anything to be saved. Now, it's kind of like when you're out at sea and you are drowning and the lifesaver comes and saves you. Your only contribution to that relationship is getting yourself in trouble in the first place. This definition of grace, by the way, as undeserved kind of kindness and favor, is quite different to what other people say grace is. The Catholic Church, for example, defines grace as a spiritual power that comes from God. It comes upon you and makes you able to do good works so that you deserve God's blessings. You know, notice it's not really what the Bible says here in Romans 3 and Ephesians 2. Grace is in contrast to works. It's apart from works so that no one can boast. You know, the key thing about grace is not its power, but the fact that it is undeserved. Grace is the way that God operates in the Bible. This is the system that God works in. This is the kind of game that God plays with us, a game of grace. And it is a fantastic game because everyone who plays wins. It's not about being good enough, because we can never be good enough. It's not about being deserving or worthy of God, because we are not. It's simply about trusting God and accepting his gracious gift. It's also grace that makes Christianity distinctive among all the other religions of the world as well. You know, there's a story that has been told about a British conference on comparative religion. There are all these experts on religion kind of talking together. They were debating about what was unique about the Christian faith. You know, the old stereotype, you know, all religions are the same. People say that. Other religions, they have scriptures. They have gods appearing in human form. They have people rising from the dead. All religions have people telling other people to do good things. And so they were debating this for a bit until C.S. Lewis walks into the room. And upon hearing that these people were discussing what was unique about Christianity, he responded, "Oh, that's easy. It's grace." And after some discussion, all the experts had to agree. Because all other religions work on the basis that to get what they are offering, you have to do certain religious things. You got to keep certain rules. You got to worship in a certain way. All other religions have some sort of scale of morality that you can go up or down on. It's kind of like a social credit score, but with God. That is not Christianity, though. Christianity is unique in offering its spiritual blessings free of charge. And we see that in Jesus, because he died for us before we began to do anything. In the cross, we see the clearest picture of how undeserving we are and how gracious God is. And so whenever you hear about Jesus, whenever you read about Jesus, or whenever you just kind of see a cross on a wall or around someone's neck, take it as an opportunity to remember how gracious God has been to you. Because we are most reminded of God's grace in Jesus. But then that kind of raises the question, well, God is so gracious to us. Can humans show grace as well? You know, overwhelmingly in the Bible, it seems that the majority of the times the word grace is used, it refers to God's grace. But there are actually a few times in the Bible where the Bible talks about human grace. And so in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, the Corinthians giving financially to other needy churches was called an act of grace by Paul. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, Christians are called not to let corrupting talk come out of their mouths, but only such as good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. The way that we speak can be a grace to people if it helps them. And so we are encouraged by God to show grace to others. And we're encouraged as well to see grace in others as well. There are worlds of human kindness where grace is working. And I think God in his word calls us to be sensitive to seeing that grace in these worlds as well. You know, there are people who just decide to take it upon themselves to just pick up other people's rubbish. There are random bystanders who will come to the help of people who get bullied or robbed or injured. There was a time when I pulled my back, kind of back in Sunday school, back in the day when I was doing it, a church before this one. I pulled my back and I was on the ground. I couldn't move. I was paralyzed. And these four huge guys from the church lifted me up onto a bench and then lifted the whole bench with me on it up the stairs. And then a guy drove me home. You know, these are all acts of grace in our worlds of human kindness. But even these worlds of human kindness, these worlds of human grace are actually also acts of God's grace. You see, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10 calls God the God of all grace. God is behind every act of goodness and kindness. Everything good we receive, we do not deserve. And that means that all kindnesses that we receive from other people are chances for us to not just be thankful to them, we should be thankful to them, but we should also be thankful to God, the God of all grace. And so every time someone does something nice for you, you know, whether it be letting you go first through a door, or maybe taking some work off your shoulders, or maybe fixing a meal for you when you're in need, anytime someone else does work for you so that you now don't have to do it, that is God reaching out his grace to you. That is a parallel to what God has done for us in Jesus. Because it's Jesus who perfectly fulfilled the requirements of God so that we wouldn't have to. Christians who know their gracious God can see God's grace operating in the grace of others. But God's grace and kindness is not just limited to other people. We can also see it in nature as well. I love the feeling on a Saturday of watching clothes dry in the sun when they're on the line. I love the feeling because it is the feeling of work getting done, but I don't have to do anything. And that is God's grace as well. You know, that is God working through nature in the light and the heat of the sun. God also works in the rainwater and the wind in other times. God is saying to us through nature in all sorts of ways, let me take that work off your hands. That is grace too. And even the times in our lives when we are sick, when we are weak, when we lose, those times when our self-sufficiency fails us, the times when we are actually in need, those are opportunities to remember God's grace as well. The passage we read, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 to 10, there was this thorn in Paul's flesh sent by God. Why would God do that? Well, it says here, to teach him, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. You know, there's times in our lives that it teach us to depend on God to teach us that we can't do everything ourselves, to teach that God's grace is enough for us. See, Christians who want to know more of the grace of God would do well simply to look at the worlds of kindness that are operating around them, in people, in nature, even in need, in every stroke of good luck that they see. You know, recognize that this is God's gracious hand at work and praise him for it. This is God's grace in worlds of kindness. But we can also remember God's grace in the complete opposite of these situations. You know, you think about kind of when you are sick, right? When you are really, really sick, all you are thinking about is how to be healthy again, isn't it? Now, yeah, health is what is on your mind because health is what you need. When you're really exhausted and tired, all you are thinking about is going to sleep because that is what you need. When you're lonely, when you're treated rudely, when you're pressured, or even just bored, what you think of is the opposite. You think of the good that you don't have because that is what you need. And it's similar when we find ourselves in places where there is no grace. In places where we recognize that actually grace is what this world needs. In worlds of unkindness, we can remember the grace of God too. Jesus draws that stark difference between his world and ours when two of his disciples, James and John, they come and ask him to be the top guys in his kingdom. They come and ask him to sit at his right and his left. And Jesus basically rejects them. And he has these words to say to them and to the rest of his disciples as well. He says, "You know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." And greatness in God's kingdom is not measured by how many people obey you. It's measured by how many people you serve, how many people you show grace to. And Jesus is the greatest in God's kingdom, not because he has given the most orders, but because he has given the most grace. And we can see that stark difference in the way that the world operates and the way that the kingdom of heaven operates, can't we? You know, in our world, people will not serve us unless we pay them to do it. But God takes the initiative and he serves us free of charge. In our world, we have to compete with others for jobs, for relationships, for respect, for each of these things. We kind of have to promote ourselves without looking like we are promoting ourselves. You know, we have to show why we deserve these things more than anyone else does. But in God's world, there is no competition, because everyone receives a blessing from God. The only competition in God's world is the competition of who can show more love and more grace. In school and in work, you earn awards for your performance. And when you get a merit award in school, there's always a reason written on it, or there's a reason etched into the statue that you get, you know, employee of the month, you know, whatever it is. With God, he loves us and gives us his blessing for no other reason than he loves us. I was speaking to a friend a few years ago. We were facing college exams together. It was a few weeks away. And I said something like, you know, "Well, however you do in your exams, it's good to know that you're accepted by grace." Without missing a beat, the guy replied, "Yeah, I just wish they also marked by grace." You know, every time there's a competition, every time there is a price to pay, every time we are measured or rated by our achievements and works, every time we are judged or blamed or rejected, it's an opportunity for us to remember God does not treat us like this. God treats us with grace. And that's how we see God's grace in our worlds of unkindness too. So that's how we see God's grace, become more aware of God's grace, see God's grace reflected in some of our circumstances and not reflected in others, and that causes us to long for God's grace even more. But once we recognize God's grace, how do we respond? Well, first way we respond is with freedom and rest. Like I said before, many other religions are some sort of balancing scales. You know, you've got your good deeds on one end and you've got your bad deeds on the other end. And at the end of time, if your good deeds outweigh your bad deeds, then that's when your God accepts you. People who are really into these kinds of religions where those deeds are weighed, there is this constant anxiety. Have I done enough? Am I good enough? Where am I actually at on these scales? Because I don't really know myself. You know, what if I die without the chance to make up for some of the bad things that I've done? If you're a Christian, though, and you believe in a gracious God, you are freed from that. Now, the Bible teaches us that through God's grace, he has already graciously wiped away our sins through Jesus. We can rest in his love. There are some people who live in terrible fear of the judgment of God. They think that they've done too many bad things for God to accept them. And I think there's kind of a little bit of a rightness to that, in that people like that, they understand the seriousness of their sin, right? That's a good thing. But what they need to understand is that our God is not a God who weighs the scales. He's a God who loves to give. He loves to forgive. And all it takes to receive forgiveness from God for everything is to ask him. No matter who you are or what you have done, you are never too far gone for God. And so we respond to God's grace with freedom and rest. The second way that we respond to God's grace is by showing grace to others. If we're the kinds of people who appreciate God's grace, then we also want to be the kinds of people who, as much as we can, don't play those games of merit and achievement and deserving things and competition and you scratch my back, I scratch yours. And instead, we just be people who are happy to show grace to others. Without rubbing their nose in it, without reminding people how much they don't deserve it and how kind and awesome we are to help them. You know, the more we show grace, the more we are like God. When I go around my house, every now and then I will see things that someone else has left out. There are jobs that haven't been done by the person that should have done them. Each of those times I'm faced with a choice. I can think to myself, so-and-so should have done this. Why didn't they do it? It's so unfair that I am the one who has to pick up after them or clean up their mess or bail them out. Or I can think to myself, no, this is an opportunity for me to be more like God, to be gracious like God has been gracious to me. Also, the other thing I think is probably these things that I'm seeing are also seen equally by the things that I should have done by people around me. And I should be appreciative of the grace that they have shown to me as well. But when you see these things, you have a choice about which world you're going to belong in. You can belong to the world of obligation, or you can belong to the world of grace. We respond to God's grace by showing grace to others. And so it is important, when it comes to God's grace, to get your definitions right. Grace is God's undeserved kindness to us. We see this most clearly in Jesus, because we are not deserving of anything from God because of our sin. But we also see God's grace in everything else. God providing for us, God keeping us going, God giving us the good things that we enjoy. We deserve none of this. And these things only come by God's kindness and grace. You know, Christians are people who want to train their eyes to see that everything around us comes from God's grace. All is grace. And this stands in stark contrast to the way that our world normally operates. If we see that, we will rest in God's grace, we'll thank God for his grace, and we will be moved to show grace to others. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your amazing grace to us. Thank you that even though we were rebels against you, that we are people who do not want you in our lives and ignore you, thank you that you still love us and that you show grace to us by extending your kindness towards us in your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you that he died for us while we were still sinners. And thank you that this death accomplished the greatest thing in the world, that it brought rebellious people like us, people who are still in our sins, back into good relationship with you. Heavenly Father, we pray that we may see this grace and be thankful to you for it. And we pray that we may see your grace operating in light of this, in all the other things of the world that we see, knowing that we don't deserve anything from you. We pray that we may see your grace in the worlds of kindness, that we may thank you for the way in which other people show grace to us, and even in the blessings of your creation. Lord, we also pray that in these worlds of unkindness, where we long for grace, we pray that we may remember that you are a gracious God to us and you do not deal with us like the world does. Please help us to be people who show grace to others as well, who want to imitate your character in the way that we live and care for others. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.